in where we could help the best, and we started to fund local projects. And that has led to everything from things like Waterfront Wednesday to the Queer Night of Performance. I'm just calling out a few right now. Some of those projects, and so what we did is we gave them a lump sum up front of 50%, and then the rest of the money they got as a reimbursement when they completed the project. And so Project Hudson, the first phase, 2020, there are still some projects that are outstanding. Mike Tucker is going to walk us through some of the projects that we need to. The CEDC graciously administered this, and he'll walk us through some of the funding that we have to vote on tonight. Does that make sense, Brian?
Yep, no, sounds perfect.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tonight, we have four projects that have filed reports, final reports for the programs that the city contracted with them to present. As Chris mentioned, projects were submitted by application. The applications were reviewed by the Tourism Board. Decisions were made whether to move forward with an application or not. If the project moved forward, the Tourism Board approved a recommendation to the City Council to fund the project. CEDC then administered the application process and the presentation to the Tourism Board, and then we prepared the draft contract and coordinated with the provider, ensuring that they had insurance, they had a W-9, and that they had an invoice and a signed city payment voucher. And then those documents were submitted to the city clerk, who presented them to the council. If the council approved it, then the mayor signed the contract and the city treasurer cut the check. The projects only received 50% of the funding up front, and 50% on successful completion of the project as determined by this board and approved by the council with final invoice and voucher. Tonight we have four projects. One is the report on the Little Deb project.
A Queer Night of Performance.
That's the stage, right, Chris?
I'm sorry?
That's the stage, yeah.
Correct.
And I was not able to copy the receipts for you, but we have looked at the three-ring binder with multiple pages of receipts, which we have added up and compared to the original budget to be sure that not only did they spend the $7,500, as an example, $7,500 that they had received up front, but also the full $15,000. And the report is in the Dropbox. We do have there is a Dropbox where anyone can go in and look at any application and the paperwork associated with these projects. I think that those of you who were aware of the project and participated in it, were very happy with it. I know at the time when it was completed, there were a lot of emails from Tourism Board members and others in thanking them for the work that they had done, and having a little bit of a slow internet here, but the final report indicates that the project, the report was prepared by the presenter. I say that this project lived up to, and if not exceeded beyond the original scope. The project was proposed as a response to the pandemic and lack of access to venues for performers to have their work safely high-beamed, high-beam operated as an autonomous platform that highlighted a variety of artists and accredited locations across the city of Hudson. And so I guess, if there's any comments by board members who are familiar with this contract, I can at least assure you that the project expended all of the budgeted funds, and we're recommending that the Tourism Board approve it to pay the remaining $7,500 of this $15,000 project.
Yeah, this was an incredible project that I would have to say not only delivered in the performance, but the ability and willingness to share the stage and enable this for other programs has made it a bit evergreen. So I'm a big supporter.
Attendance was great.
And it's part of what makes Hudson interesting, the fact that you can come and you can see such diversity.
You say such diversity, I say I've never seen a death drop the way a death drop that happened on that stage as I was rounding the corner around the park in that first show. It took me by surprise. So, no, this is great. So it's the recommendation of all the committee members that we approve. Now, did they stay on budget, I guess, is my only question. The other $7,500 is exactly what they need, because I just did. Kate, thank you again. I went through the report. It mentioned that they had to open up a separate LLC in order to get the insurance policy that they were required.
Right.
Did that force them to go over budget at all for themselves?
Well, they did. Most of the projects have spent more than the contracted amount. I think that was part of how this was set up. We have had a couple over time that did not spend the full amount, and therefore they did not get the balance of the funding, either because they didn't complete the project or because they didn't spend the full amount. And that's the basis on which the receipts are submitted and calculated. I think there was a let's see here. And I think in some cases it wasn't an issue the receipts do add up to more than the $15,000.
Okay, but we are only responsible for
yes.
The second half of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tom, typically how do we do this? Are we going approval by approval per element?
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. And then just, voice vote is fine unless someone dissents.
Okay, perfect. And if we're doing the same way, I'll call for a round of voting and approval. I'll just go around here. I assume all the committee members, I've got, Kate, in terms of approvals, do you vote for approval for the invoice, final payment for Little Debs?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Cece?
Sila, I prefer, and it's a yes.
My apologies. Sorry, Sila. Excellent.
Yes.
Ivy?
Yes.
Excellent. Am I missing anybody else that's formally on the committee here?
Not tonight.
Excellent. All right. No dissenting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, we were going to take the next two together, the Juneteenth Festival and the Melodious Funk, which was the musical component to the festival.
Yeah.
The report indicates that they welcomed visitors from around the county as well as Kingston, New York City, and other places. Some specifically came for the event. We provided an activity-filled day enjoyed by all who attended. Funds were used to provide more free food and secure Department of Health permit purchase. for the leaders, as well as photo and video documentation services and a DJ. And Tanya Jackson indicated, I'm very grateful for this funding and the quality of service offered by the Tourism Board. The project, while still in its early stages as a community event, is a wonderful cultural connector and has a space of upliftment. This program has afforded me the momentum to imagine and plan for future projects in service of our community. This project had been approved for a total of $5,000. On the Juneteenth a component of it that Tanya Jackson put on, and a little over almost $7,000 for the jazz music. Both of the components of it, if any of you went, you knew that the band was there, and you also knew that the event was held. And, I think that one of the benefits of this program has been that to create large events for the summer where people could get out and be in a safe environment in the outdoors at a time when they otherwise had spent a lot of time in hibernating or quarantining and the like. So I would again recommend this and ask any of the board members for comments relating to the project or questions.
I have a question. So this is this year, right? And the previous one was last year's program. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And the combined amount for the two that was approved was how much?
Well, it was done in two sections. Juneteenth was the application by Tanya Jackson, and that was for $5,000. And and the jazz band Melodious Think, which was the feature concert, if you will, for the event, was $7,500, $7,550, and that was the contract price for that group. I was not there.
I'm just going to jump in for 1 second and just for Ryan's benefit. These, what we're discussing now, are actually part of Project Hudson 2,
right?
The second program,
right,
which was this year, and it was aimed specifically at marginalized communities.
I've got the
image. I'm sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry, no, Chris, while I've got, so I've got the, which one was I able to go through there? The Juneteenth one that Tanya filled out looks perfect. That's the most thorough I think I've ever seen receipts for anything.
Except you should see this little Deb's binder.
The binder that they
Yeah.
I don't have one for the Melodious Thump one, though. Is that in a different place?
Well, we have the contract. No, the problem with that one was twofold. One, there was a contract directly with the band. And so
okay.
I get a receipt from them, but the contract was directly between the city and the band. There was an issue, I guess, with bands. I guess they like to be paid on the day of the event, and presumably at the end of the event if they stayed the whole time.
Yeah.
But this process, in many instances, has caused some difficulty in timing, both because of the approval by the Tourism Board and then the city, and then the cutting of the check or the timing of the check. So over time, we, CEDC, once it's been approved by the Tourism Board, has entered into a note and assignment of the payment. The Tourism Board approved this and the city cut the check for the first half of the contract. And then 2 days before the event, the promoter called and said that where is his other half of this money for tomorrow's event? And so we cut the check for the 37.70. So I can get it. I can be sure that I get a receipt for the tourism board and for the city treasurer before the check is released.
Why are these two being? Why are they two being combined? These two.
They were all part of the same event. That was the same event weekend. Right. If I remember correctly. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
There was a follow-up event for Melodious Stump where they did a second concert in the Pocket Park about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask about that. Is that included in
this? Yes, well? That's included in this, yes. And I think that, you know, it made sense not to have Tanya have to contract for both because, the limits on the grants, and B, not taking the risk of... That they didn't show up. So the deal was to contract directly with the musician. So we would recommend to the board to recommend to the city council to approve the invoice and voucher so that the city treasurer can make the payment under the agreement.
All right. I'll take the call. Kate,
I'm sorry. Anyway,
Abby, go ahead.
For how much exactly?
$2,500 for the June.
$2,500 for Tanya Jackson and $3,750 for the musicians.
It's the second 50 of each.
Right.
That we allocated for each.
Correct.
Any more comments? All right, we'll take a vote for approval. Ivy, I'll start with you. Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you there.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Chris?
Yes.
Sila?
Yes.
And Kate?
Yes.
Excellent. Carries. If, Linda, if I can ask you just to make a note in there about releasing for Melodious Thunk pending...
Receipt.
Receipt that we will get from Mike?
Yeah. Well, from the... I'll get it from the...
From the band.
The vendor.
Perfect.
Indeed.
All right. The last I have in here is the Free Columbia final report.
Yes.
This was the marionette show, right?
Correct. This is a holdover from the previous year. They had originally agreed to perform six times.
Right.
The mistake they made was they performed once in Athens and once in Philmont. And these were City of Hudson funds, so the board rejected paying them when they submitted their request at the end of last year. There was some misunderstanding on their part with respect to the fact that all of the performances had to be within the City of Hudson. So as I had reported, I think early in the summer, I conveyed from last year that there were concerns there were not enough performances. In fact, they did not reach their goal of at least eight performances. So we had reported earlier this summer that they had, and the board said that if they were able to and willing to complete the contract this year, that the board would consider approving the second payment. So they did go ahead, and as the report shows, On Saturday, June 5th, they sponsored a festival called the Singing Mink. You can see the activities there. The Free Columbia Art Dispersals in Hudson took place on June 26th. And there was another event on July 10th. We performed the proposed play six times in and around the Hudson area this year, which when you took the four times that they did last year would be 12 instead of eight that they had committed to. They indicate 300 people gathered to see these plays experiencing Hudson and its area in the spirit of leisure and contentment and the story related to climate resilience. He used the funds to purchase material food and hire a musician. He thanks the board for the opportunity. While smaller than our usual shows, we were happy to do it, and without your support, it would not have been possible. And he includes after the invoice and voucher, an Excel spreadsheet showing the total expended, and got three screens going here, and it was a $5,000 grant, and he spent well over that when he includes the director and producer and writer's fee and costume design and others. So this was a unique one. I think that the board may want to take a moment to think this through. But there was a sense of the board not to penalize them if they were willing to fulfill the contract this year. And actually, it would appear they've did more this year than they were able to do last year. So I would recommend that for approval as well.
Any comments, Chris?
I would just say that I think that this is a really good example of a program that we funded that didn't meet its obligations. And the idea was, how can we get them back on track? So I don't think it's really a penalizing, but the fact that we were, I wish that they had advertised a little bit more and people had known about it a little bit more, but the fact that they came back and did their obligations. And I think I'm looking at a current program that has just gotten funding the second Saturday, where I had a few people come to me and say, hey, how come the galleries aren't open late anymore? So I think this is an example of how, when we do provide funding, we can go back and we can say, hey, look, to get the rest of the funding, you really have to live up to your obligations. Let's work together and find a way for you to do this. So I think this is a model.
Is there anything in the contracts that we set forth with any of the companies that we enroll that has language about, pending meeting the obligation, whether or not you will be given a second chance? Because the one thing I would want to make sure that we don't do is set a precedence for this moving forward. I mean, in 2020, 2021, it absolutely makes sense, right? I mean, everyone's board, trying to figure life out.
As I recall, the board did vote extend the contract, and basically here they didn't they just extended the completion date. It was basically
we said that we wanted them to perform, and it if they weren't going to do it in 2020, the 2021 would be okay, but again, it's not a punitive thing, it's more of a how do we work together to get the results.
Yep, exactly.
But I think the point being is that it has to be something that the board approves so that somebody can't drag it out 5 years and then come in and look for their money.
Right. Good point.
Especially if it was something that was intended to be done on one weekend somewhere. And this was meant to be 8 different shows. But, you wouldn't want to have somebody, as you point out, Mr. Chairman, be in the situation of arguing that this was a precedent.
Right.
It's also worth noting that there is a confusion sometimes. Sometimes on the tourism board, we get asked from people who don't live within the city of Hudson, but they have a mailing address that says Hudson. And so, I think there was some confusion as to
what constituted.
Yeah, Philmont is not Hudson, unfortunately.
nor does it have a Hudson mailing address in that aspect.
Right.
In that respect, you're correct.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I'd recommend you vote to approve this.
All right, I'll take a roll call on that. Chris, start with you this time.
Yes.
Kate? I think that was a yes. I saw a
yes. Yes.
Sila?
Yes.
And Ivy?
Yes.
Excellent. Carries.
Very, very quickly, Mr. Chairman, I'll give you an update on the pending projects. The way I somehow, when I made the tried to put numbers on the items under the update, second Saturday got listed as number one with all the other projects listed with letters underneath it as subsets, but they're all the same. Second Saturday has been approved by the Tourism Board and by the council, but we had an issue where they had not gotten the signed contract in time for us to process the voucher and invoice last month. So that will be presented to the council for approval next week.
Okay.
The Sacred Ground project is in underway. I believe the Sanctuary Movement project is this Saturday.
Yes.
Yes.
I spoke with Elena Mosley at Operation Unite. There's a component of the project that she was contracted for that isn't finished until December. So obviously we don't make partial payments for the second half. So she indicated that she didn't expect to receive a payment until she completed the project at the end of the year. The Black Entrepreneur Market completed, I believe, its third event last weekend. And they're in the process of preparing their final report and getting their receipts together. So we anticipate that we would bring that to you next month. Betsy Miller, which was a touring walking tour in partnership with the tea shop. I reached out to her for an update, but haven't heard back. The Business Coalition, we believe the awareness campaign was completed, and the phase two walking tour, they've indicated they haven't spent all of the money. So they want to come back to the board next month and, you know, either wrap it up and reduce the amount or explore with you an expansion of the project to spend the difference. And that would require a separate vote.
Right. What was the total funding for them, Michael?
Hold on, please.
What is this project he's talking about right now?
The walking tour?
Phase two of the Hudson Business Coalition's walking tour. They received $5,000 for the Hudson Bond project, $9,850 for the phase one walking project, $15,000 for the awareness campaign. Those three are done. And the phase two walking tour was $13,750. And they received $6,875 so far.
Interesting.
So they indicated in an email to me today that they would be reviewing where they are and reporting back to you at the October meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, the DePace Family Project musical truck. The total was $3,100. And they did receive $1,550, but I don't have a current report on the completion of that project, but we'll get that for October as well.
Okay, great.
And, you know, I think when you look at this, you know, approved projects in total in phase one was $160,000. And in phase two, I don't have a complete total in front of me, but yeah, I think it was at least another $25,000. So this was a $180,000 initiative over a year and a half. One of the things that we did do, which was built into the model, was we would loan people money if it was approved, and then they signed a note and an assignment so that when they got the second check from the city after the project was completed and approved by the board and the council, they signed it over to us. And it enabled some of the applicants who didn't have the cash to pay the second half, if you will, to complete the project. And that was how it was designed, to help those who might not have been had the cash flow to complete the project, but we had confidence in them that they would do it. Originally, it was set up that we would do this in return for a $5,000 fee, but because all this was done in COVID, we've waived that fee, and CDC will not collect any fee for providing these services, and we're just glad to be part of the community and engage with the city as well as the towns and villages in the county.
We appreciate it. Thank you very
much. We really appreciate it. We do have it earmarked for you.
But I think that it's better to, to continue to use it for your programs. you know, a viable county seat is a critical component of our tourism agenda and a component of our business. And when you look at the 23% increase in sales tax from 2019, forget 2020, you know, the continued viability of attraction and providing tourism focus that you and the city provide through this, as well as the county tourism office, is important. And, you know, we would rather just let you use that for other purposes. But it's been fun. And, you know, I always say you never really build partnerships until you work together on a project. And I do have to admit, once or twice we made the loan because I forgot to get the paperwork in to get approved, and I didn't want the the next council meeting was 30 days away, so it worked out well.
Well, thank you for doing it, and we
thank you, Mike.
You facilitating all the funds in advance, and you've been a great partner to us.
Well, we look to partner other ways as we complete this project and look on to new projects. So thank you.
While I may be new, Mike, I will say, you say there's nothing like rolling up the sleeves and getting to work with people on a project. Underscore all of that for the pandemic, right?
To really. Well, we were very fortunate. I'll make one more commercial here. We were able to put $1,350,000 back into the community when we count your 180, over $250,000 in partnership with the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation and small business grants, $650,000 in small business loans. And, you know, we think that, as I said, the partnership with the 18 towns, the four villages, and the city is something that's critical to our success. And we are grateful that you are willing to work with us. So thank you.
Excellent. It's always our pleasure.
All right.
Bob, have fun with the rest of your meeting. Sorry if I took too long, but I did want Ryan to have a little background on some of these projects. And congratulations on your new assignment.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to working with you too. And thanks again for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Bye, Mike.
All right, friends. So I know that we have the Warren Street seasonal usage update, but Gary Pernhagen is not here. Do we want to table that? I know that we also have outstanding invoices from Michael Conti. Obviously, I don't have information and background on that. Kate, should we move to table this till October, or will we be Larry here next?
I think we should. I've requested an update on the total fees collected by businesses for Warren Street seasonal usage, which we have an $8,500 allocation for currently in our budget. So that needs to be reconciled, and I've requested that information from Gary. And I think he'll be able to provide more context around the Michael Conti invoice, but essentially it was additional supplies and additional plants that were necessary to fill all of the planters. And some of the planters early on, I think, were not taken care of by the businesses and so needed to be replaced along the way. Obviously, they are a beautiful component to Warren Street. They've, lasted and I think definitely add a lot of visual value there. So, but Gary will have to, I think, contextualize it further. So I do think we should wait on that.
Okay. I'm sorry, who just joined the call too?
That was me. I went from Zoom to audio because of
that. Oh, no worries. Sorry about that. I saw the 518 come up and I'm like, who is that? Sorry, Sila. Thank you. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So we'll table that for now. I know that we also have, and I mean, it's kind of a good meeting to join as the chair for the first one. So funding and planning for 2022. Chris, I have you and Ivy for that, correct?
That's right. Ivy, do you want to talk first?
Sorry, you can go for it, Chris.
Mine is not so much an update on what we have, but more what we want to do next year.
I haven't had a lot of chance to review before this call, and it's been a while since I've looked at this stuff, so I apologize.
Okay.
Should I be looking at your PowerPoint, for the spreadsheet?
I was going to share the spreadsheet. Let me see if I can share. I am having a hard time sharing right now. Ivy, do you have the spreadsheet? Could you share it?
There we go.
Yeah, that's it. Great. Great. So one of the things that we wanted to look at is what we're going to do for next year. You know, obviously September gets us past the summer months. You know, at the last meeting, we talked a little bit about the idea of tourism being able to not concentrate everything in the summer, but help businesses throughout the year. But this sheet here really kind of looks at some of the programs that we have funded in the past and have really become kind of a part of the Hudson fabric, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I would call out that it's incredible, a city of 6,000, and we have everything from the Black Entrepreneurs Market, Juneteenth, Bangladeshi Cultural Festival, Latinx Festival, Pride Parade. So that's quite exciting. So what we did is we kind of took a look at what we have been funding traditionally and what we think we should invest in for 2022. And that starts with the Warren Street Seasonal Usage Program. Obviously, that was a response to the COVID pandemic. So there could be a discussion as to if and how that goes forward next year. But I personally thought that was a huge success this year, seeing people eat outside. And to comment on Michael Conte's plants, I mean, the plants, I've heard people comment on how beautiful they are. So that's been really nice. I think the Black Entrepreneurs Market is a tradition that I think we want to continue. Operation Unite Sankofa Festival has been going on for, I believe, 60 years. Elena Mosley has kept this going. That's become part of our fabric. Juneteenth, this was the second year of doing this, so I think this is becoming a tradition. Obviously, hoping that the Bangladeshi Cultural Festival can come back next year. You know, that was something that a lot of people in Hudson really look forward to. Very excited for the Latinx Festival that's happening this coming weekend. You know, something probably want to support in 2022. Waterfront Wednesday, we put this in here just because it was such a successful program this past year, and it really is becoming central to our summers. And obviously the traditional things of the Halloween parade, winter walk,
yeah,
anything that Hudson Pride comes back to.
So it's a good list. I mean, it seems to span. I mean, to your point, it is a little summer heavy, right, when you're looking at some of the dates. So obviously, I think I want to work with the group on refining to really extrapolate this out more. Would it be possible? Is it too much of a challenge to ask? Could we get this updated? I would love to see what the 2021, and if we have them, what the 2019 numbers were for each as well. Because to know exactly how we're growing the budget percentage-wise each year, right, juxtapose against the fact that we probably really pulled back heavy in 2020 just because the world fell apart. You know, I think that some of these too, like, there's a way to, for some that are more traditional, right, like the flag days, I'll even say the Halloween parade. I think one year there was the Halloween Day parade in 5K. Like, I would want to consider what effort the tourism board can also put behind public-private partnerships to be able to get more funding in for those that don't take away from our budget, but see the peanut butter spread a little bit more evenly above everybody, because I think that's going to go over better with the community overall. But then it's, you know, Chris and Kate, I know you both have marketing backgrounds, right? Let's put on our marketer hats here, right? What are we able to offer up in exchange in terms of the advertising that happens over city social media channels and more that would come in terms of these businesses contributing a little bit more to even out that that money that would come across as well. So
Ryan,
I think this.
Go ahead. In 2019, there really wasn't much. There was a tourism board, but they didn't spend much money because they really, okay. It's a long story, but the only real expenditure was they gave the council, I believe it was $20,000 or $30,000 to disperse. And that was used for
the branding.
No, it was not. They did not get branding money. That's what they wanted to get money for. Instead, it was used, the council used it for the Halloween, the Winter Walk, they used it for the traditional things.
So very minimal.
Very minimal.
Wow. All right. Well, so then I guess just what each got in 2021 against what the projected ask would be is fine then, at least to start.
Well, and understand that amount, the 20, was the traditional amount allocated by the council in the budget, 20 or 30, for what used to be called the Arts and Entertainment Committee.
Got it.
And I would just also note that there has been a pivot that, from the very beginning, this tourism board said that we were not going to prioritize overnight visitors from Brooklyn, but that we were going to also include regional, local. We coined the term intra-tourism.
Yep.
And she's no longer on the board, but I have to give a plug for Tamar Adler, who really drove home to all of us that if we make Hudson a great place where we want to be, then visitors will come. So it's been a different focus than branding and traditional marketing.
Smart. Sila, were you going to say something? Your box lit up on the Zoom here for me.
I would just kind of recall that there was a time where when the tourism board first got initiated, where there was some money spent to try to get a consultant in to talk about branding. And I don't know if that was a part of the budget or if that was something that was separate, like was a part of Common Council.
No.
I know there was.
I'm sorry, Sila. Sorry.
Yeah. There was some money spent on getting him some place to stay, and there was like a bid put out to see who could come up with some type of branding concept. So I think there was some monies in that 2019 budget that was taken on when they thought that we needed to brand Hudson, not realizing it was already its own brand.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, all that was turned down by the council. It was very...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're right. That's what was proposed, and that was the kind of controversy at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Ivy, I believe you wanted to...
I just have a couple of questions. So, I mean, just looking back at this, and someone else has looked at it before coming back to me, I'm curious, just first of all, I guess my big question is, when do we need to present something to the Common Council? Because I thought it was last week, so I just want to make sure that we're keeping that on our timeline. Like, is there a point at which it becomes too late that we can't ask for funds at a certain point?
Yes, but to be clear, it's not to the Common Council, it's to the BEA, which is just
okay.
Me, the mayor, and the treasurer.
Okay.
And we haven't even begun assessing various... the final budget has to be ready on November 10th, I believe. I could look it up, but it's in the charter.
Okay, so we still have a little bit of grace period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a great first go, again, against seeing what... I mean, again, what's going to help, right, is to see, say the Latinx festival has $0 this year to $15,000 next year, right? Like, we want to show where we're investing in certain areas of our community overall.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Ivy. I'm sorry.
My other questions just are, I'd be in regards to the summary, I'd be really curious to know what from this year's Warren Street seasonal usage could apply to next year. And this isn't necessarily a discussion we need to get in right this very minute, but just, the concrete blocks, we planters have been built, any of those expenses, like what carries over, and does that actually equate to $42,000? Because I think that was based on this year.
So no, I did this calculation for Chris, and I can just tell you what is included. So it's really clear, and we can just clear it up right now in case we decide or the city decides that with the business community that Warren Street seasonal usage should continue in 22. It includes $15,000 for the project manager. It includes the plants again for any new plants planting that needs to happen. It includes $5,000 for DPW, which may be able to come out. I'm not sure how that allocation, whether or not we would actually need to allocate like resources to the DPW's budget or not.
So okay, that's for things like the time for the guys to come and like do the work that we need done, correct?
Yeah, which may not even be an issue. So that could certainly, that's a conversation starter. $1,000 for just miscellaneous, like, you know, Gary, I know, had to buy a lot of cones this year to make sure that people could see the blocks. And $8,500 of this is allocated, as we did last year, for the lost parking revenue to get that back into the general fund so that we're not taking away that money from the city.
Okay. Thanks, Kate. And then, okay, so I'm just going to move on quickly. So this is my document. I highlighted Waterfront Wednesdays. Were we not, they were going to be self-sufficient, I thought.
That's their goal.
Their what?
Say that again, Tom, sorry.
That's their goal.
Okay.
That's our goal. Ivy, this is my fault. I put this in here as a fallback because I figured let's start high and then whittle back. So that's my hands in the air on that one.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I would just say, you know, this maybe in the next week or so we could connect with Sam and Adam and sort of like Waterfront Wednesdays in my mind was a really successful program this year. There were lots of people at the waterfront on Wednesdays. I'd love to see this come back. I'd love to check in with them and see sort of like how they're doing in terms of the sustainability. And then maybe we could check this number against that after that conversation.
That would be good. Chris?
Actually, Adam sent a note. He would have sent it to you, Ryan. He didn't know who the chair was. And he sent it about a week ago. But he asked if it would benefit the board for them to present like they did last year, the results. They've collected some data to show like what this did for Hudson. So I told them, I went ahead and said, yes, they should come for the October meeting, if that's okay with everyone.
I think it would be worthwhile. In passing, I mentioned to Kate, you know, let's pull together, you know, what the impact was, not just for the businesses, but the community overall, for foot traffic, et cetera. And I think that's, and then I think at that point, what we need to do is we actually need to invite a two-way dialogue, right? There's the, we've presented what the results are, and then let's invite feedback from the community, bracing ourselves for the fact that we know it probably all won't be positive, right? Because every time you give somebody a platform, somebody will use it for good and for their own terms, but that's okay. And I think from that, we can really whittle out what this all looks like, you know? I mean, you know, as from an outsider's perspective, you know, before being involved on this committee, I can tell you, you know, I personally enjoyed a lot of what went on this summer, and it provided safety. It provided a way to do it in the middle of this new normal. I hate that term, but that we're living in. So, you know, I think when you put it through that filter, we can find a path forward for most, if not all, of these programs next year together.
Yeah. So this, to that point, this is a list for us to start a discussion. This is not an ask.
Exactly. Nope, this is great. All right, and I know we're running tight on time here. Any other comments or questions about the initial budget look for 2022? All right, Ivy, you can stop sharing on that one. Thank you so much for having that at the ready, though. I appreciate it. And the last piece that I have here, Chris, I don't see Mia on the call, but the Pocket Park market update.
Yeah, so the Pocket Park markets have been going on. They've been building nicely. We've gone from a very humble start back in August to having, I think we had 7 vendors this past week. We had 3 performers. We're learning as we go. The Pocket Parks are activated. We're getting people coming in and enjoying. One of the lessons that we learned was that by putting the music acts in one park and the vendors in another, it felt a little bit disconnected. So we're hoping to grow that. We did have another vendor come in today. So it's starting to build into something. We've already had some requests if we could go beyond October. I don't know if we want to do that.
Do we open ourselves up to any sort of liability with weather?
I'm not sure about that. And I'm not even sure that I want to go into November with this myself, but It just shows that there is some momentum. People are enjoying this. I think it's an example of where we can start small and grow something organically rather than the big bang.
Excellent.
I have a question.
I think, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that even though I know it gets cold and you're thinking you don't want to have to go into November, I would say that similar to the Basilica that does a holiday vendor program through their on their property, I think a lot of the vendors that you're seeing now that are coming to the pocket parks are looking at what can they do to be able to earn an income during that holiday time. And also because the pocket parks are so, it's like a part of the fabric and the nuances of strolling down Warren Street and seeing all the different shops, having those lights in the pocket park and then having some vendors there that don't have spaces, brick and mortar spaces. I think if we thought about it, it could bode really well for folks who have always felt a little disenfranchised and not being able to afford to be on Warren, to be able to have even that weekend where it's a holiday, a big push before the holiday in November.
I love that.
Just my thought.
I love the idea. I mean, it's very, a lot of European cities do it too, right? I mean, you know, throwing out there, one of the ideas I've always wondered is, you know, we end up putting our small little elf houses in the park every year. That's great. But a holiday market where we can provide tents and, you know, not just even people in Hudson, this is something broader discussion, even for somebody with Michael, right? How do we work within the broader community to be able to bring all of that wonderful business into Hudson to make it accessible for the people that live here, right? So, Sheila, you're singing great things to me, and I love this idea. So, you know, Chris, maybe that's something we look to earmark too for not just 2022, but maybe there's a way to get a pilot of it off the ground this year too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can start earlier next year, obviously. But yeah, I love this idea. I'm also like a big fan of things that we do that are in the off season. I feel like Hudson has, you know, we have so much going on in the summer and it's wonderful, but, you know, Wednesday in November and things are a little slow.
I'll tease Linda because I see her on here. TSL in the park for different movies and different parks around the city. If we can figure out that infrastructure.
Thank goodness for TSL in the quiet months, let me tell you.
So I have a question. I'm still wondering, because I don't know if this was ever addressed and it was something that we discussed when we had the in-person meeting when we were at the council chambers that night. Whatever happened with the toilet situation?
So I actually will put my hand in the air and just say that we haven't really had huge numbers yet. And I explored getting a toilet in there. It seemed like a nightmare to me to rent a porta potty, put it there, and then leave it there for 30 days, not knowing what was going to happen in the rest of the time. So I just have not, I kind of made an executive decision to not go forward with that. But I do know that that is a priority. I would maintain that I think that the city needs to look into public toilets. I think that there's a tourism component, but I don't think it's something that the tourism board alone should lift.
We decided
on that. That was a caveat of the approval of this bond. Sorry. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly work to get a porta potty. I just think it's...
I think there...
It's a cumbersome lift. I understand.
I think there's been a lot more willing... I mean, the porta potty solution was during, not this past summer, but the previous summer when most businesses were not allowing people into their buildings this or to use their bathrooms. I think it eased up this summer because I heard no complaints to speak of about inability to access a bathroom.
Kate, I'm sorry, you were going to say?
Just that I noticed when looking through this budget, Chris, the 22 budget request, that there's no money allocated for pocket parks in here. So just as a continued topic of conversation while we're working through this, we should add that back in, because I feel like that's a program that would be great to continue to have grow for the community.
Very much in the way that Sheila was describing it too. I like the idea that it can be year round, that it can hit at the holidays as well.
Also, something that we could use to make them better would be something as simple as like a sandwich board sign
yep.
that draws people, because right now people are discovering it and it's like this interesting find, but also attracting interesting vendors. You know, we had dog ice cream there this past week. Ice cream for dogs.
Excellent.
Made in Hudson.
All right. Any other items that any other members that are on this call or the public would like to discuss? That finishes our agenda for now. I'll open it up for comment. All right. The resounding silence tells me no. All right. I appreciate everybody's time this evening. And we'll look forward, Linda, to getting the notes. Ivy, Kate, Chris, thank you for having me. I look forward to partnering with you, and you know how to get in touch with me. If you don't, actually, Kate, if you can connect us all, if I could put that burden on you, that would be wonderful.
Sure, no problem.
Great.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
Yeah, motion to adjourn. I'm looking at Kate or Chris or Ivy. All right, second. Beautiful. All right. Carries. Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Thanks. Bye.